The economic recovery in the United States is, in a word from the Fed, uneven. It's the business news headlines for Wednesday, the 21st day of October. Thanks, as always, for being with us. On Wall Street, the one word was stimulus. The 30-year jumbo mortgage rate continues to drop. Meanwhile, the number of COVID-19 patients in hospitals continues to mount. Cities as well as households are feeling the financial crunch of this economy, and Chicago is not alone. Too much oil and gas, it seems. Tesla and Chipotle were in the news today. The Wall Street Report, yeah, we've got that, and a streaming service calls it quits. For the interview, you'll meet another entrepreneur who launched a business in the midst of a pandemic. Our guest is Shirley MacLeod, but first, the business news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, T-E-R-O.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You want to reach us on Twitter? You can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Well, today the Fed released their beige book report and told us what we already know, that the U.S. economy continues to grow, but the picture is uneven. The central bank wrote, quote, "Changes in activity varied greatly by sector, and while economic activity continued to increase across all districts, the pace of growth is characterized as slight to modest in most areas," end quote. The report was based on information collected by the Fed's 12 regional banks through October 9. At issue is the U.S. economy's rebound, which has shown some signs of slowing in recent weeks as fiscal stimulus passed in early spring has expired and COVID-19 makes an autumn resurgence. The most recent economic data has been mixed, with consumer spending rising while job gains have slowed. Speaking of stimulus, or the lack thereof, the markets today reacted downward as there's still no agreement on any further stimulus plan from Congress and the White House. Investors have been eyeing the progress in hope of some deal before the election. However, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has repeated time and time again that he's against any large deal prior to November 3rd. Wall Street did react, and I'll have those numbers for you in just a bit. In the most recent bank rate survey, we learned that the average cost of a 30-year jumbo mortgage hovered near a record low at 3.5%. That rate rose 1 basis point from last week and is short just of its lowest record ever of 3.48% achieved earlier this month. Whether you need a jumbo mortgage in some way has more to do with the market where you're buying than your choice as a consumer. In most areas of the United States, a jumbo mortgage is any single-family home valued at $510,000 or more. The low end of the threshold for a jumbo mortgage jumps to $765,000 in more expensive areas. Meanwhile, for conforming loans, the mortgage rate in that survey was pegged at 3.06%. Yet, even as rates continue to be low, the availability of housing stock also is low, which drives up prices and can, in many cases, price folks out of the market. What's not going down are the number of patients with the coronavirus in hospitals across the United States. Today, the hospital rate is the highest it's been since August 22nd. Meanwhile, the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention cited 4 national studies that predicted a probable inpatient increase of as much as 6,200 people daily over the next 4 weeks. According to Johns Hopkins University data, 37 states are reporting increased hospitalizations, including 21 states that have recently reported new records or are approaching previous highs. While the trend is national, the hardest hit region, according to the university, is the Midwest. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is proposing a $12.8 billion budget that raises property and fuel taxes, institutes layoffs and furloughs, and refinances debt to close the largest budget gap in that city's history. According to Mayor Lightfoot, those steps will help fill the record $1.2 billion shortfall in the city's corporate fund. While cities across the country are confronting revenue declines and deficits, Chicago's pain is more acute because its finances were strained even before the pandemic exacerbated its budget shortfall. Pension costs have weighed on the city's credit rating for years, which partially spurred Moody's Investor Service to downgrade the city to junk back in 2015. And those bills are climbing. Chicago's four retirement funds are short about $30 billion. Lightfoot attributed Chicago's financial distress to the COVID-19 public health crisis, saying the pandemic had hammered the city with unprecedented revenue losses. Chicago is hemorrhaging cash across all major tax programs, she said, pointing to a 77.5% drop in hotel tax revenues, a 49.5% decline in amusement tax revenues, a 48% drop in parking tax revenues, and a 35% decline in sales tax revenues. With numbers like those, balancing any budget is going to be tough. And for sure, Chicago is just one of thousands of cities and towns across the country that are also seeing massive budget problems. Oil and gasoline futures tumbled the most in more than 2 weeks after a U.S. government report showed swelling fuel stockpiles and slowing demand as the coronavirus pandemic rages on. Both crude and gasoline futures in New York declined 4% today. Domestic gasoline inventories rose by 1.9 million barrels last week, and that is the biggest increase since May, while a measure of gasoline consumption has slid to the lowest since late September. The mounting fuel supplies and lackluster demand may worsen during the normally sluggish winter driving months. All of that means you can expect lower fuel prices. At least, maybe, right? Tesla today reported its fifth consecutive quarterly profit on record revenue of $8.8 billion. The electric car maker also affirmed its target to deliver 500,000 vehicles by the end of the year, which means Tesla must ramp up sales here in the fourth quarter. Shares for the company were up 4.3% in extended trade this afternoon. Meanwhile, sales increased at Chipotle Mexican Grill, and that surprised investors. Yet, the fast casual chain, their stock fell by 5%. Speaking of the markets, Wall Street suffered another down day after starting out with some positive numbers. The Dow slipped by 97 points to close at 28,210. Earlier in the day, the 30 blue chips had been up by 100 points. The S&P 500 dipped by 0.2% to 34.35, and the NASDAQ slid by 0.3% to close at 11,484. All eyes are on the wrangling in Congress regarding any future stimulus assistance. While both Speaker Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin say they have made progress in their talks, and White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows described the effort as promising, it all may mean nothing, as Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is urging the White House not to pass any large stimulus package before the November 3rd election. And finally, there is this. According to the Wall Street Journal, citing anonymous sources, streaming service Quibi is shutting down. According to earlier reports, the well-funded startup was already looking for a buyer, but had been unsuccessful and recently hired a restructuring firm to evaluate its options. The service, which featured 5 to 10 minute video narratives meant to be consumed on smartphones, had attracted $1.7 billion in funding in the run-up to its launch less than a year ago. Speaking of launches, next up, you'll meet an entrepreneur who, with her husband, recently launched their franchise business in Iowa. As part of our series of startups during the pandemic, you'll hear from Shirley McLeod and her story about Tint World. Stay with us.